Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
A movie czar?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Hollywood complains it loses billions of dollars to people who illegally copy movies and music. The studios could get a little help from Washington. A House committee has passed a bill that would stiffen penalties and create a new cabinet-level position, an anti-piracy czar. According to the Washington Post, the Justice Department hates the idea. Janet Babin reports from our Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The bill's got the support of major content providers. The Washington Post cites NBC Universal chief Jeff Zucker as lead backer. But tech companies that carry that content on their websites would likely oppose it. It could force them to take more responsibility for copyright infringement. And the Justice Department's against it, too. The DOJ fears a cabinet-level copyright czar could undermine its power. Recent attempts at patent reform have failed to get off the ground. But most of the proposals would have diminished intellectual property rights. Duke University law professor Artie Rye says this new bill is different.
Much of the emphasis for the bill is premised on the idea and the reality that other countries, particularly China, are violating copyright, you know, quite flagrantly, and so therefore we need more protection.
Not that we're going to get it. It's an election year, and with the White House and the Justice Department against action, it's likely the bill's just meant as a symbol to scare content pirates out of the business. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Talk about high expectations. ExxonMobil said it made almost $11 billion in the first quarter. That's close to the best three-month profit in U.S. corporate history. But Wall Street expected more. So Exxon shares are down in the early going. So far, the Dow is flat, right at 12,820, where it ended yesterday. The NASDAQ has gained 14 points, and the S&P 500 is flat as well. European shares are up a fraction. The markets in Asia finished 0.5% lower. It's unlikely China can host a pollution-free Olympics. The Games will be somewhat smoke-free, though. Today, a ban on smoking took effect in Beijing. But it doesn't cover everything. Our correspondent in China, Scott Tong, has more.
A last-minute exemption allows lighting up in bars and restaurants in designated smoking zones. The head of the state cigarette monopoly argues a total ban is unrealistic and would harm social stability. Indeed, the cigarette is the business equivalent of the pat on the back in China, says Beijing restaurateur Paul Astafin.
It is used as a gesture of good faith. Every time I've ever came across doing business with people, whether it's in purchasing product, going out buying equipment or dishes, the first thing they do is offer me a cigarette.
China has a third of the world's smokers. 350 million is more than the entire U.S. population. Last year, Chinese cigarette makers made $50 billion. As for the Beijing ban, smokers who break it will be fined $1.50. That's about the cost of four packs of the cheapest cigarettes. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at GrantThornton.com. And by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way.
Yesterday, commentator Robert Reich gave his arguments against suspending the gasoline tax this summer. Today, a different take from our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. He wants to raise the gas tax. Chris, I guess you're not running for office?
Oh, come on, Scott. Can't you see the bumper sticker? You're driving along the freeway in L.A., bumper-to-bumper traffic. And there it is. Raise the gas tax now. I mean, it's a great slogan.
Yeah, yes. If you don't want to get voted into office.
If you want to send the right signal to the marketplace, to the market, you want to raise the gas tax over time to say, a dollar. You're not going to do it immediately, but raise it over a period of several years, and that will send an important signal to the market for more research and development into alternative energy. And that is where the real change will come in our economy at an era that we worry about things such as global warming and energy independence.
But aren't we reaching that point of changing behaviors without a gas tax? I mean, it's already $4 a gallon.
Well, here's the thing. My sense is we have finally reached a point where behavior is starting to change, where people are conserving more. So all a gas tax is going to do is going to say energy prices or gasoline prices are going to stay high. And therefore, the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and research scientists, and they're all going to try and figure out ways to come up with alternative energy, more efficient use of energy. So it would really give a spur to that market.
Yeah, but Chris, one of the main arguments against a gas tax is that it's regressive and that low-income people would get socked with another dollar when they're already having trouble paying for gasoline, and some of them don't have a choice but to drive a car to work.
Right. Now, we got a debate about how regressive it is, but let's just say it is regressive, and that is a problem. Well, what you can do is cut other taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut the tax rate for low-income workers on the income tax side, or you could go and say, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cut the Social Security tax, which is a real hit on low-income workers. They get a benefit when they retire, but while they're working, it's a real hit. So there's a lot of things that you can do to adjust the tax code in other places so that you can protect your low-income workers.
Well, Chris, I have to give you credit for your ambition and thinking outside the box. I don't know if it's going to happen, but thanks anyway.
Vote for me, and thanks a lot.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Can you imagine if your income tax statements were published online for all the world to see? Well, that's exactly what Italy's government did yesterday. It launched a website showing every Italian's tax records. The experiment in transparency didn't last long. The country's privacy regulator has already shut it down. Plus, so many people were trying to see what celebrities and their next-door neighbors made for a living, the website stopped working anyway. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.